Okay, we're beginning here 11 lines down on the top of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the issue that it raised yesterday, which is the nemanut of an eid echad legabei ayivama, the ability of an eid echad to come and allow a woman to marry other individuals and to say that her yavam has passed away or something has happened now that frees this woman to the shuk. So yesterday, Rav Sheshet brought proofs from the Mishnayot, or we were medayek out of the Mishnayot, the answer to these questions. The Gemara in the end gave a casual dechiyah to Rav Sheshet, saying that the Mishnayot might be talking about two edim, and then another two edim that are coming that are mezim, that have hazama over the first edim. Again, it's not a strong answer of the Gemara or rejection of the Gemara, because the Mishnayot don't sound like that. The Mishnayot sound like a case where Amru, the two Edim, came and said something, and then that same information was relayed differently from a second set of Edim, because they say Amru also. Nevertheless, the Gemara tried to push away that proof of Rav Sheshet through saying that maybe the Mishnayot are talking about Edei Hazama. Now the Gemara moves on to the next possibility of a proof. Amar Lei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, V'Amri Lo Rav Acha the Ravashi, Tashma, let us bring a proof from this Mishnah that's coming up later in the Masechta. A woman is not believed to come back from Medina Tayyam and tell us that her Yavam passed away. And therefore I can go out and marry. And she's also not believed to say that her sister passed away overseas. That she can now replace her sister because the Isur Erva or Isur Reyot of Achuta is only as long as her sister's alive. So if she testifies to the fact that her sister passed away, in that instance, maybe she should be allowed to marry her sister's husband. In both of those cases, the Mishnah says she is not believed. The Gemara says, let us be midayek out of that Mishnah. He nihi delo mehemna. She herself is not believed. Hai eid echad mehemen. On the other hand, a single eid would be believed. Meaning the fact that the Mishnah disqualifies only the woman seems to indicate that it's only the woman that is problematic over here, but an eid echad, a single eid, would be believed in these cases. Gemara says, Litameich, according to your reasoning, a maseifa. What are you going to say about the latter half of that Mishnah? The latter half of that Mishnah says, Eina ish ne'eman lomar, a man is not believed to say, Meit achi, that his brother had passed away, Shehabe met ishto, in order that he can now perform yibum with the wife of his brother. Velo meita ishti, he's also not believed to say that his wife passed away, she'aseh achuta, that he can marry her sister. The Gemara again says, if you're going to be midayek like you were in the Reisha, then, hu nihu delo mehemen? Over here, it's the husband himself that is not believed. Hai eid echad mehemen. But you would conclude then that an eid echad would be believed in those cases. The Gemara challenges that and says, bishlamo gabi isha, by a woman mishum iguna akiluba rabbonon, by a woman, the Chachamim allowed an eid echad to come and testify to her benefit because we don't want to leave the woman as an aguna, and therefore they were mekel to allow an eid echad to come and be believed. Elegabe ish, by a man, ma'ika lemeimar. Over there, there was no takanat Chachamim to allow an eid echad to be believed. So the diuk, if you wanted to make it out of the reisha, might have been fine. But if you do make that diuk, it forces us to make the diuk in the seif as well. And in the seifa, it's just not true, because nobody believes that an eid echad is believed when it comes to testimony regarding the husband's status, because we don't worry about the problem of agun by the husband. It's only the problem of aguna by the wife, and therefore that's why an eid echad would be believed there. To make such a deal out of the seifa would not be proper. Now, Tosafot points out that you don't even have to go to the seifa to come to that conclusion. You could even conclude that out of the ratio of the Mishnah that he brought. Because how would an eid echad be ne'eman to say that meita achuta in order that she should then go marry her sister's husband? Over there, it's not a problem of aguna. The sister could be a single woman, and she's just waiting to get married, and all of a sudden her sister passes away, and now she can marry her sister's husband. Why is that a case of aguna? Why would you believe an eid echad in that case? So Tosafot says something very interesting. He says that even by a single woman, there might be a din of aguna, because she was waiting or in anticipation of marrying her brother-in-law. And because of that, when the testimony of the eid echad comes and says her sister passed away, It is a form of aguna. This is the way that the Ri expresses it. Vomari, davi matzilit chuya gabisha shayach lomar iguna. Afilu bihochi, hai gavnun de shema lo timza adam shisena. Maybe she won't find anyone else who's willing to marry her. And the fact that her brother-in-law is willing to marry her is a semblance of aguna. And therefore, we would have allowed the testimony of an Eid Echad. And that means that the Gemara's answer over here, according to Tosafot, is not only the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, but rather it's a more general statement, which is, there's a difference between testimony that helps a woman get married versus testimony that helps a man get married. When there's testimony that helps the woman get married, Eid Echad is Ne'eman. And that's even in cases where the woman is not an aguna in the traditional sense of being married, but she has now someone who is willing to marry her. Whereas by an ish, we never consider those factors with regards to the man. So therefore, the Gemara rejects that as a diyuk to answer our question as to whether an Eid Echad is Ne'eman with regards to freeing a woman to marry to the shuk when he's testifying about her yavam. So then the Gemara says, Ela ki yitzrich, the Rabbi Akiva yitzrich. So then that Mishnah, why is it written in such a manner? It is to teach us legabe the din of Rabbi Akiva. The sakadat chaminoho v'amar Rabbi Akiva yesh mamzer mechai v'lavin. Because we know that Rabbi Akiva says that the product of a problematic marriage that is asur min haTorah, even though it's only asur b'isur lav, like, for instance, a yivama l'shuk, a yivama who marries a third party without getting chalitza or without performing yibum with her yavam. In that case, that's an iser lav of lo tia isha tamed achutza l'ishzar. That's only an iser lav, which according to the chachamim will not produce a mamzer, but according to Rabbi Akiva, it would produce a mamzer. So therefore, if you would say that it produces a mamzer, ema chaisha, now the way Rashi has the girsa over here, it is ema chaisha kukula vidaika. So let us suggest over here that she worries about being messed up, and therefore she carefully checks. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that in this case. So the way that Rashi explains it over here is that if the resultant marriage is going to end up with a mamzer, a product that is a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the woman is going to be in a difficult situation, which is according to Rabbi Akiva, teitzei mizeh u teitzei mizeh, she's going to have to divorce the man that she married, as well as the potential yavam, and the product of that marriage will be a mamzer. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it looks similar to the cases where her husband went overseas and she got information that her husband had passed away and she marries improperly. That there, by the Eid Echad, we say that the penalty is that she has to divorce both parties and that the children, of course, born from that marriage are mamzerim. So you would have thought the same thing over here with regards to Rabbi Akiva's shita, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the product is a mamzer and this is a serious violation. And therefore, she would be afraid of entering into this type of marriage without checking carefully. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that in this case because of her feelings with regards to the Yavam. She hates the Yavam, or potentially hates the Yavam, and therefore she is willing to take risks with the information from the Eid Echad and marry out to a third party without checking so carefully. We would have thought she checked carefully because she didn't want to get into a predicament in which she'd have to divorce everybody and have children in Mamzerim. The answer is that her hatred overcomes all of that, and therefore she will marry with an Eid Echad without checking into it carefully. On the other hand, there are Rishonim, including the Ramban, the Ritva, that uphold the original Girsa in the Gemara, which is in parentheses over here, which is that we would have thought, Al Kikula de Zara Daika, we would have thought that when it comes to problems with her offspring, she would be careful about looking into it. Kamash Malan, that Kilkula di da chaisha, Akilkula di zara lo chaisha. Kamash Malan, that she only worries about herself being put into a predicament that messes her up, but she does not worry about the possibility of her children being mamzerim in this case. And Rashi himself quotes this alternative girsa and rejects it, saying that it doesn't make sense, because according to Rabbi Akiva, all of these problems would arise for this woman, meaning that in the case where she went out and married Yivama l'shuk, and erroneously, and it was nisur lav, according to Rabbi Akiva, not only would her children be mamzerim, but she would lose out in that case as well. She would be divorced in that case. But nevertheless, those Rishonim that believe that the Girsa is correct, they say that originally our assumption was that The fact that her children are mamzerim would be enough to prompt her to look more carefully into the case. And her havamina now is that maybe because of the difficulties that her children will face, the kilkula dizara, the fact that her children would be designated as mamzerim might be enough of a mitigating factor to override her emotional hatred over here. And that was the havamina. Mashmalan, the Gemara concludes that that's not the case. She only worries about herself. She does not worry about her children. Vis-a-vis her children, if there's kilkala, she's willing to take that risk in order to get out of the marriage. Something that will mess her up, she will look into carefully. Something that will mess up her children, she's less likely to make the effort to look into it carefully. And over here, the reason that she's not looking into carefully is because she hates the Yavam. And therefore, she won't look into the whole matter carefully because she has an emotion that will override her rational response to the outcome of this event, which is that she'll lose out on everything just because to her the most important thing is not to marry her Yavam. And that will dictate in this case, and therefore she won't check in carefully because of her own problems. So we thought that maybe the addition of the problem vis-a-vis her children would make it that she'd be more careful over here. And the answer is that her children don't make any difference, and we're back to square one, which is that she will not be careful because of this emotion of hatred, and therefore she will marry without checking into the issue carefully, and that's why we don't believe her. As opposed to the case by her husband, where we assume, and as Rashi says over here, that she would want to go back to her husband, and therefore that would be a positive factor when she gets information when her husband has passed away, that she would check into the case carefully, because she doesn't want to come to the outcome where she has to now divorce both parties. So now the Gemara moves on looking for another possible proof to the fact that an Ed Echad is Neman by Yivama, and that's from Rava. Rava Amar, Ed Echad Neman by Yivama, by Kal Vachomer. Ed Echad is believed to allow a woman, a Yivama, to marry the Shuk through an Ed Echad from a Kal Vachomer. The Isur Karet Heitarta. By a case of Isur Karet, you believed the Ed Echad. Isur Lav, Lokil Shekain. When it comes to an Isur Lav, certainly you will believe the aid. Now, Rashi explains here that the Isur Karet that we're speaking about over here is Meit Baleich Tinasi. That if an Eid Echad comes along and says to a woman that her husband passed away, she's allowed to marry based on that testimony. This is a case of Eshet Ish. Eshet Ish is a case of Karet. It also involves other Mitot Beitin, but it is an Isur Karet. And there we believe the Eid Echad. Over here, to believe the Eid Echad by an Isur Lav, which is which is only an eight lav that she's not allowed to marry a third party if her Yavam had not passed away, then why shouldn't we believe the Eid Echad? If we're believing him by more serious issues, we certainly should believe him here where it's a less serious issue. That's the way that Rashi says the Kal Vachomer works. Tosafot disagrees and says that the Nemanut of the Eid Echad by Karet is not referenced to the case of Meit Baleich. Ella, the case of Meit Baleich, that your husband passed away, we allow her, in that case, to marry the Yavam, in that she's permitted to perform Yibum when an Eid Echad comes and testifies to the fact that her husband passed away, and now she was an Eshet Ish, and despite the fact that she is an Eshet Ish, or Eshet Ach, which is the bigger problem over here, she's still allowed to marry her Yavam. And then, from that, we'll make a Kal Vachomer. The reason Tosafot does that is for two reasons. Number one is that by Eshet Ach, which is the problem by Yibum, there is only a problem of Karet. There is no other mitah associated with it. So first of all, that's the focus of the Gemara Mitat Karet. According to Rashi, which is talking about Eshet Ish, there's more than just Karet involved here, and why didn't the Gemara mention those mitot, which are even more chamurot? Number two is, Tosafot says in both those cases, we worry about the ulterior motive of the woman. In the case where they come and say your husband passed away, and then she goes ahead and performs Yibum with the Yavam, there, the Gemara earlier said, maybe we're worried about the fact, Mishum Derachma, she likes her Yavam. And maybe over there she won't check into it so carefully. So again, there's an emotional reason, maybe not to allow it to go through. And yet, despite that fact that we believe the Eid Echad, so too over here, where the Eid Echad comes and testifies that her Yavam passed away, and now she's free to go marry outside, over there, by the Lav, we should also believe the Eid Echad, despite the fact that there is an emotional issue here that she might hate the Yavam. That might cause her to believe the Eid Echad without checking into carefully. So therefore, for Tosafot, they are parallel cases. The case of Eid Echad permitting her to marry the Yavam, as well as Eid Echad permitting her to marry outside because there is no more Yavam. In both of those cases, there are emotions that might have overridden. And yet, in the first case, we say Eid Echad is Neman. So we should also say in the second case that Eid Echad is Neman. So Amalei Hau Mei Rabbanon the Rava. So one of the Rabbanon said to Rava, that's not a good Kal Vachomer. He Atzma Tochiyach. She herself, we can prove, does not have that Nemanut, even though there might be such a Kal Vachomer. The Issa Karet, Hitarta. When it comes to the Issa of Karet, we allowed her testimony to believe. So if she comes back and says, Mate Ba'ali, that my husband passed away, according to Rashi, she's believed then to go ahead and marry a third party. Or according to Tosafot, she's then believed to marry her Yavam. Isur lav lo hatarta. But by the case of her coming back and saying, Mate Yavami, that my Yavam passed away, we just saw from the Mishnah that we quoted above, that she's not believed in that case. So we see she is believed by an Isur Karet, and she's not believed by an Isur lav. Vela ihi my time alo mehemna. Why isn't she believed, despite the fact that you have this Kal Vachomer, because in one case it's Karet and we believe her, in the other case it's a lav and we don't believe her? The Kaven de Zimnin de Sanyalelo Daigo Mintzuba. Because we worry about the overriding emotions over here, which is that she'll come along and say that her Yavam passed away because she wants to get away from him. She hates him. And therefore she'll come and say that without being so careful or checking into it so well. Eid Echad Nami. So we'll say the same thing with regards to an Eid Echad. The Kaven de Zimnin de Sanyale, Lo Daiko Mintzuba. Because she has such a dislike for her Yavam, she will go ahead and believe the Eid Echad without doing the correct or proper checks here in order to get out of the situation, having to marry her Yavam. And therefore, we do not believe her, and we also will not believe the Eid Echad despite the fact that there is a Kal Vachomer here. The Kal Vachomer can only go so far, according to Rashi, because even though it's going from Karet to Lav, over here, Sina'ah, hatred is an overarching factor, and therefore we don't let it go through. According to Tosafot, who says that we believe her in the cases of love, we don't believe her in the cases of Sina'ah, as we mentioned yesterday, Tosafot says that the emotion of hate is so much greater than the emotion of love. We see that by the case of Amnon with Tamar. After he perpetrates the act with Tamar, the Navi tells us that the Sina that he had for her afterwards was even greater than the Ahava that he had for her beforehand. That those emotions of hatred are far stronger than the emotions of love, and therefore we worry about her ability to look into the matter carefully or to make good decisions in the case of hatred. We don't have that by the case of love. Then the Gemara continues with the quote from the Mishnah. Zeh Midrash Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Matyah v'chule. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Matyah told us that Isha Grusha Mi'isha, that a woman who is divorced from her husband, that only a get from someone who is married to her is posel this woman, Likuna. But a get given by a third party who's not married to her has no impact on the woman. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Avalei the Rabbi Elazar the Midrash Bei Marganita. Rabbi Elazar had a jewel, a pearl, here that he should have been Doresh, V'Darash Pei Chaspo, and instead he gave us a shard of pottery. So basically saying that there was a much better drusha over here. What's clear is that the drusha that's being made over here, according to Rabbi Elazar, is only a drusha or an asmachta midrabanan, and that's why he did not pick up this drusha. But Rabbi Yehuda Merab thought that this should have been picked up, and this should have been a full-fledged drasha with regards to a woman, which is my Marganita. What is this jewel that he left behind? The Tanya. Bisha grusha misha. Afilo lo nitgarsha ala misha. Even if she's only divorced from her husband, psula de kuna. Then she is disqualified from marrying into the kuna. In a case where an individual gives his a get to his wife, and he says that she is released from him, but she is asura de chol adam, that he releases her, he says she is divorced from him, but she is not allowed to marry anyone else. So the Gemara tells us in other places that that is a get pasul, because a get for a woman is where all the ownership is completely released. And therefore, over here, the release is only from her husband, does not permit her to marry other people. That's not really called a get. But despite the fact that it's not called, and it's not an effective get, that it still is posel or the kuna. V'hainu, and this is the concept called Reach HaGet Posel B'Kehuna, that even a smell of a get ruins a woman to marry the Kehuna. And over here, if he just divorces from himself, that's what the Pasuk says, that a get, even just from himself, is enough to ruin her from the Kehuna. Even though it's not effective get, even though it's not a good get, it still ruins it. And based on that, we would have learned that Reach HaGet is Posel. Of course, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Matzah, as we said before, believes that that issue is only an asmachta bi'alma, and it's not a true drasha out of the pasuk. Okay, now the next Mishnah says, Misha halcha ishto l'medinat hayam, his wife went overseas, ba'u v'amru lo meita ishtecha. And then they came back and said that your wife passed away, v'nasat achuta. So now, knowing that his wife had passed away, he goes ahead and marries her sister. V'achar kach bat ishto. And then, all of a sudden, his wife shows up again. Muteret lakzordo. She can go back to her husband. And, obviously, the second marriage to her sister was not a good marriage, because the sister was asur to him, be'isur karet, and therefore the kedushin were not tofsin with the sister. And since the kedushin were not tofes with the sister, then, number one, his wife is allowed to return to him. Number two is, umutar bekrovat shnia. She's allowed to marry the relatives of the sister. Ushnia muteret bikrovav. And that sister is also allowed to marry his relatives, because we don't consider it to be a full-fledged marriage. Now, the reason behind this is twofold. Number one is, because you would have possibly thought from a kal v'chomer from Eshet Ish that she should be asura li ba'ala, because marriage to a sister disqualifies the other sister over here, and should therefore his original wife should be asura to come back. The Kamash Lan of Tosfot, what the Mishnah says, is that's only the case when there's nisuin. That's only the case when there's a full-fledged marriage over here. Whereas Rashi sees the Chiddush bearing that ota shkivata usarta v'in shkivata chuta usarta, her own bia, or problematic bia, will restrict her from going back to her husband, but her sister's bia will not restrict her from going back to her husband. And then here it says that they are mutar in each other's relatives because of a principle that's coming up, the Gemara will discuss in an upcoming Mishnah, which is that nosim ala nusav ala mifuta. In the cases where an individual has a non-wedlock relationship with an individual, in those types of relationships, the relatives of that individual are not affected by that relationship. Only nisuim, only marriage creates that problematic relative relationship, and therefore over here, since the relationship he had with the sister mistakenly was only of znut because he couldn't marry her because his wife was still alive, therefore all the relatives of the sister, as well as all his relatives to that sister, are mutarim because anusah mifutah do not have those restrictions of arayot that are otherwise associated with a woman who is actually married. V'imeita rishona, and therefore if his original wife passes away, mutar b'shnia, he can marry the sister at that point in time, because one is permitted to marry nosim achot anusato. One is allowed to marry the sister of his anusa. And over here, his wife is the sister of the anusa, because his wife's sister is the one that he had this problematic relationship with. So he's permitted to stay with his wife. And since he's permitted to stay with his wife, then the anusa, the sister, is also not restricted. And when his wife passes away, he's allowed to marry that sister that he had that problematic relationship with while his wife was still alive. So Amru lo, they told him, Meita ishto v'nasa et achuta. They come and give him information again that his wife passed away. We'll discuss in the Gemara who's telling him this, but from the plurality here, it sounds like two edim told him this information, that his wife had passed away, and he went ahead and married his sister. V'achakach Amru lo, and then now we have new evidence comes, two edim come and say, Kayemet haita, that she was alive when you first married her sister, umeita, but now she is dead, she has passed away, meaning that the information is correct, it's just not at the right time. Therefore, a vladari shon mamzer, any child born before the second edim come is a mamzer, because his wife was really alive. Acharon ein mamzer, anything after that shmua is not considered to be a mamzer, because at that point his wife has already passed away, and he is married to this woman permissibly. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says something that's cryptic that the Gemara will have to decipher, but does give us one piece of information which is important to our sugya, which is kol sheposel yedei acharim, posel yedei atzmo. Anybody who is posel through others is posel by themselves. V'chol shein posel yedei acharim, enu posel yedei atzmo. Anybody who is not posel by others, enu posel yedei atzmo, is not posel by themselves. Again, we'll see in the Gemara how to interpret Rabbi Yossi. The one thing that Tosfot says that Rabbi Yossi teaches us is that we're clearly talking about a case where the sister is married. Because you could have read our Mishnah, as Tosfot points out, that we're talking about an unmarried sister, that the husband, after his wife passed away, marries this pnuya, this unmarried sister. And despite that fact, you might have had all of these havaminot that this woman would either be problematic or he wouldn't be allowed to marry her relatives, he wouldn't be allowed to marry her afterwards once his wife came back. Kamash Vlan, that's not the case. But from Rabbi Yossi's words, we clearly see that we're talking about a case where we're talking about a married woman. And that's borne out by the next line of the Gemara, which is Afagav, the Azul Ishto Vigiso the Medina Tayam. So even though his wife and his brother-in-law went overseas, so our Mishnah must be talking about a case where, again, his sister-in-law, the sister of his wife, is married. And again, Tosfot says we learned that out from the connection or the statement of Rabbi Yossi after the statement of the Tanna Kamma. And if that's the case, even though when the two of them go overseas and Edim come and say that his wife passed away and so did his brother-in-law pass away, now because they both passed away, the remaining husband and his wife's sister, who is his sister-in-law, he marries because of the information that they got. Now the outcome from these two parties is actually going to be different, which is what the Gemara is pointing out over here. That Vavagab Dazal Ishto Vigisol Mindinatiyam, Dahani Hani Nisuim, the Kamitasre Ishit Giso Agiso, in that case where we find out that whatever the Edim said was incorrect, and his wife is really alive, and so was his brother-in-law, then when his brother-in-law comes back, the brother-in-law cannot remarry his wife, the sister of the husband's wife, because she's the case that we talked about earlier in the Gemara, where she married, and based on the fact that she married, Teitse Mizu Mizu, she has to leave the new husband. She also has to leave her original husband. So she will be penalized in that case that she has to divorce both parties, and she may not return to her husband. Nevertheless, Eshet Giso Asira Ishto Sharia. Even though his sister-in-law cannot go back to her husband, the brother-in-law that we thought had passed away, nevertheless, Ishto, his wife, who we thought had passed away, Sharia, she can come back to her original husband. V'lo Amrinan, and we don't invoke the principle here, Mitok Shenesra Eshet Giso Agiso, since his sister-in-law is asur to go back to his brother-in-law who we thought had passed away, Tiaser Ishto Alav. So to his own wife, should be restricted for coming back to him. So as Rashi points out here, we're talking about an Eid Echad, because Eid Echad is a case where we believe him when it comes to the woman's standing, but because we're maker with regards to the woman's standing, therefore we penalize her in the back end, which is that she will then lose out totally if the information is incorrect. So here the Eid Echad came and told us that the sister's husband, his brother-in-law, had passed away, as well as his wife had passed away, and therefore he marries the woman. But the Eid Echad is not neman from his perspective that his wife had passed away in order to allow him to marry his sister-in-law, but the Eid Echad is believed with regards to his sister-in-law to allow her to marry, and therefore she marries the husband here because of the Eid Echad. And since it's her nemanut, it's her relationship with the Eid Echad, that nemanut which allows them to get married, she's also the one who's going to bear the penalty when we find out that the information is incorrect. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, suggests over here that the case might be Mumairi Bamrulo Shnei Edim Shemeta Ishto. Might be a case where two Edim come and say that his wife passed away, Ve'ed Achar Al Giso, and one Eid with regards to his brother-in-law, so that he is relying on two Edim for his wife, and his sister-in-law is relying on the one Eid that says that his brother-in-law passed away. But if we only had one Eid with regard to his wife, then he wouldn't be allowed to marry. That's the way Tosafot suggested, that the one Eid would not be sufficient to allow him to marry, even though it would be sufficient to allow his sister-in-law to marry. Inami. Or Tosafot says, Vikatrei Al Giso Nami. Or Tosafot says there are two Edim that his wife passed away, and two Edim that his brother-in-law had passed away. Well, if you have two Edim, our Mishnah earlier says that when you have two Edim that is getting married Shelo Birshut, and Shelo Birshut Beit Din, but with the right because there were two Edim, and therefore she's not penalized in that case. So Tosafot says that this Gemara, or this Mishnah, is according to that Deya, not like Rabbi Shimon, who says in that case she's indemnified because she had two Edim and therefore she doesn't have to be penalized. But it's like those Deot that believe that she is penalized in that case. And here we're talking about two Edim across the board that gave testimony, but nevertheless, she's still penalized in this case. Now over here, this is going to be slightly different than the din of Teitse Mizu Mizu, because normally in a case of Teitse Mizu Mizu, she needs a get from both parties. In our case, that won't be the situation. She will only need a get the sister-in-law from the brother-in-law, her original husband, but she will not need a get from the husband over here that married his sister-in-law because even if she had been divorced from her first husband, he still would not have been able to marry her because she is achot ishto. And as long as his wife is alive, he's not able to marry her. The chashash that the Gemara talks about before is that we are afraid that people will think she divorced her first husband and married this second individual. If we let her go free without a get, they'll think that a woman who's married can go out without a get. But in our case, that will not be a chashash, because even had she gotten a get from her first husband, she still would not have been permitted to marry this individual, because that's achot ishto. And so therefore, she does not require a get from the husband. Since the sister-in-law does not require a get from the husband, that's why he's still mutar with his original wife, because she does not become achot grushato. There's no semblance of isur over here that would make us think that his original wife should not return to him. In addition to the fact that the gezerot by a man might be different than a woman, because in general the chachamim only gozer in cases that are common or shchiach. Over here, for a woman to travel overseas is an unlikely scenario, and therefore the gzerot of the previous Mishnah of Teitzu Mizu Mizu do not apply in this case. On the other hand, when a husband travels overseas, which is a much more common occurrence, then all the takanot chachamim of allowing Yed Echad to come and help out, but also of the penalties of Teitzu Mizu Mizu do apply. So over here, the husband can take his wife back, even though he mistakenly married his sister-in-law in the interim, but the sister-in-law may not go back to his brother-in-law because she is subject to the normal restrictions that apply from the Mishnayot that we saw before, which are Teitzu Mizu Mizu. And what is clear, as Tosfot points out, is that this, what the Gemara says, that it's Ishto and Giso that went overseas is the case in the Mishnah. That can't be the case in the piece in the Mishnah that says, Imita Rishonah Mutar Bishniah. If the first one passes away, I mean his wife passes away, he's allowed to marry his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, because if his wife's sister had been married, then just like she's Asur Lebala, she would be Asur Leboel. And since she is restricted to his brother-in-law, the sister-in-law would also be restricted to the husband because of that issue that she is now rejected from her husband. She will always still be rejected from him. So therefore, even though the Gemara says that that's the story in the first case in our Mishnah, it cannot be the complete story over there. And therefore, when the Gemara continues over here, Lema Matnitan Talok Rabbi Akiva, let us say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Tosafot reads it as a continuation of the Gemara over here, assuming that it's Ishto V'Giso that went to Medinat Hayam. On the other hand, Rashi sees this as being an independent statement with regards to our Mishnah, nothing to do with what the Gemara just said over here. But either way, our Mishnah won't be like Rabbi Akiva, because if it was Rabbi Akiva, it would turn out to be the sister of his Grusha. As we said before, according to the Chachamim, the husband here does not have to give a get to his wife's sister, because there was no way that he could be married to her, and there's no mistake that could be made over here. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva demands that it be a get be given in this case. The Tanya, Kol arayot shebetorah, ein tzrichot emenu get. Anybody who engages a relationship with one of the arayot of the Torah does not need to give a get because the kedushin are not tofsim. Chutz, with the exception of eshet ish shenaseh talpi beitin, like our Mishnah said earlier, a woman who is married and based on beitin and eid echad goes ahead and then marries a third party, but mistakenly, and her husband shows up. There we said, Teitzei Mizu Mizu, and she needs a get from both parties. Even though technically she's not married to the second individual, we still require a get because of the appearances here. That it looks like the possibility that her husband divorced her, and then she married the second guy after the divorce. So we want to get a divorce from the second one, even though she never married him and couldn't have married him because she was an Eshtish. Nevertheless, we require a get. For Rabbi Kiva Mosif, Af Eshet Ach Vachotisha. So too, the case of Eshet Ach and the case of Achot Isha. Many explain why Rabbi Akiva picks these relatives, because these are relatives that at some point do become mutarim. Eshet Ach is mutar in the Makom of Yibum, and Achot Isha is mutar after his wife passes away, then he's allowed to marry the sister. Since there are time periods when these individuals are mutarim, therefore Rabbi Akiva required a get. In these instances, even though the marriage was a problematic marriage because of misinformation, and therefore when they married mistakenly over here, the Kedushin were not Tofsim, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva requires a get in these two cases. There are others that suggest that Rabbi Akiva requires a get in all relatives, and he just brought these two as an example. Whereas the Tosfot Yushanim just says that Af Agav Delo Shayach Girish Zeh V'Nasa Zeh, in these cases, the Chol Inyan mit Asra, because either way, she's a Surah because she is Achot Ishto. Because she is a married woman, we penalize her with the same penalties that are mentioned in the Mishnah, which is tetzumizumizu, and she requires a get from both of them, and that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. But came into my Rabbi Akiva by get. Since Rabbi Akiva requires a get from the husband to his wife's sister, memele tzare ale, then by default, she then becomes a sur to him, davila achot grushato. His wife now becomes a surah to him because she is now the sister of his divorcee. As we had mentioned before, the reason that the husband is allowed to take back his wife, even though his brother-in-law cannot take back his wife's sister, is because the husband here does not have to grant a get to his wife's sister, because again, there was no possibility of getting married. But according to Rabbi Akiva, says he does have to grant a get, then he can't go back to his original wife, because now it looks like he's marrying Achot Gerushato, the sister of his divorced relationship. And therefore, not only will the brother-in-law be asur with the sister-in-law, so too the husband would have been asur with his wife. So Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah allows the husband to go back to his original wife, or the wife to go back to her original husband. V'lav itmar ala. And don't we have an Amoraic statement said about this of Rabbi Akiva? Amar Rav Gidon, Rav Chir, Bar Yosef, Amar Rav. Hai eshet ach, hei chidami. What is the case of eshet ach that Rabbi Akiva was speaking about? Gagon. His brother went ahead and had kiddushin with a woman. And then he went overseas. And then they get word that his brother passed away. And he goes ahead like a good brother and performs yibum with his brother's wife. Because the original marriage must have had some embedded conditions in it. And therefore the brother went ahead and married her. It was a full-fledged marriage. Not because of Ebo, but because his first brother's marriage did not go through. There were some stipulations in the marriage that never went through. And therefore, we require a get over here, even though the marriage was illicit and the Kiddushin had no stipulations in them, but because of the optics, we require a get in that case. And similarly, v'hayo chotisha nami, that case of a chotisha, what heichidami, what's the case? Go and shekidei shetisha. He went ahead and he had Kiddushin with a woman. And then that woman went overseas. And then he gets word that she passed away. Then he goes ahead and marries her sister. Again, that the original marriage had stipulations in it that failed. And therefore there was no kiddushin. And therefore he married the sister properly. Again, he was thought to be married to this woman. But now he's marrying her sister. People will think the reason he married her sister is because the first Kiddushin fell apart because of stipulations that were not carried out. And that's why he's fully married to her and he requires a get over here, even though in reality he is married to his wife and his wife's sister is asura to him and there's no Kiddushin over here. Nevertheless, that's why Rabbi Akiva required a get in both these cases because of the optics. But once you say that qualification of Rav, then that changes the whole dynamic of where Rabbi Akiva requires a get. In both those instances, Rabbi Akiva required to get in the case of Kiddushin. But, Elo Nisuin, Miyikin Ameymar, Tana, Havalebi Nisuin. Over here in our Mishnah, where we're talking about full-fledged marriages, not just Kiddushin, but consummated marriages of Nisuin, who says over there that you can have conditions in Nisuin? You might be able to have conditions in Kiddushin, because, in a sense, that is a arm's-length transaction, which is that he gives her the Kesef Kiddushin, and then she becomes his. In a quote-unquote sense, he's acquiring her, and just like in any other monetary exchange, you can have stipulations at Tanaim, so too over here by Kiddushin. When it comes to consummation of a marriage, Nisuin, over there we say that all conditions are waived. Either because Chibat Bia, the intimacy that is created over here, will override all the conditions, and basically they waive all conditions because of the Chibat Bia, or because a person's unwilling to make his Bia, Biat Znut. And therefore, he will override all the conditions in order that his biyah be a proper biyah, not be a biyah zanut. But if that's the case, then Rabbi Kiva's need for a get only applies to cases where there's only kiddushin. By case of nisuin, where there's no possibility of stipulations being put in the nisuin, then over there, there would be no need for a get. So if that's the case, then even Rabbi Kiva could be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about cases of nisuin, not cases of kiddushin. So I'm Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana, I Rabbi Kiva, litnei nami chamuto. Even if you want to say that Rabbi Akiva is the author of Mishnah because it's Nisuin, you still have a problem that if our Mishnah was really Rabbi Akiva, you should have mentioned chamuto. Tashmainin le Rabbi Akiva, damar chamuto achar mita, lav bisreifa. Because we heard from Rabbi Akiva that his mother-in-law, after the death of his wife, does not have a punishment of sreifa. And therefore, you could have suggested a case in our Mishnah, is a case where the Edim come and say that your wife passed away, and then he goes ahead and he marries chamuto. He goes ahead and marries his mother-in-law, which according to Rabbi Akiva is mutar. The cases in our Mishnah are talking about his wife's sister, because his wife's sister is mutar to him after the death of his wife. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you have another one of the arayot that is mutar after the death of his wife, and that is his mother-in-law. So why does in that case mention the Mishnah if Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah, the Tanya? Because we have a bright, Be'esh Yisrafu Oto Ve'ethen. It says that they will both be burnt. I mean, that's the punishment for someone who engages in an illicit relationship with his mother-in-law. The problem is, it says, Be'esh Yisrafu Oto Ve'ethen. He, of course, he perpetrated an act here that was improper, he gets reifa. Ve'ethen is the problematic statement over, and them. And them would seemingly refer to his wife and to his mother-in-law. Now, as far as his wife's concerned, she didn't do anything wrong over here. She was properly married to him. The problematic relations was between the husband and the mother-in-law. So why does it say at hen that his wife and his mother-in-law are subject to sreifa? So the Gemara says, oto vetachat mehen. That what it means is that oto, he gets sreifa, and one of them, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael explains that it doesn't mean at hen. At hen does not mean both of them, but rather means one of the two of them, whichever one he's not married to. I mean, if he's married to his wife, then the mother-in-law would be the one that is subject to sreifa. If he's married to the mother-in-law, then her daughter would be the one subject to the sreifa over here. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Meir, oto ve'et shtehen. The oto means him plus two of them. Now, the two of them here clearly cannot be his wife and his mother-in-law, and therefore the interpretation seemingly would be that it's his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother. And that is subject to machloket amoraim, which is, bishlom ala abayi damar mashmut dorshim ikibinayu. That the only difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is the way that they darshan the pasuk. The Rabbi Yishmael sover chadaktiv, that in this pasuk only one of them is written, but in general he agrees that not only is the mother-in-law subject to sreifa, but the mother of the mother-in-law is also subject to sreifa. He just learns it out of gzeira shava, not from this pasuk. Rabbi Akiva sover tartiktiv. Over here, Rabbi Akiva says no, they're both written in that pasuk, which is the mother-in-law and the mother of the mother-in-law, which is implied by yethen, are written in the pasuk. Shapir. In that case, it's fine because the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael are saying the same thing. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva would restrict the mother-in-law even after the death of his wife. And the pasuk is just coming to teach you that the punishment or the sreifa applies not only to his mother-in-law, but also to the mother of his mother-in-law. But Elo the Rovo, that explains the machlok between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, that there's actually a difference between them, which is, Tamar chamutola achar mita igabeinayu. His mother-in-law after death is the difference between them. That the machloket over here is where you learn it from. Not only is the source the difference between them, but the outcome is also different, which is that both of them agree that chamuto and im chamuto are subject to sreifa, but Rabbi Akiva believes that the mother-in-law is only subject to sreifa as long as her daughter is alive. But if her daughter passes away, then that mother-in-law is mutaret, based on the pasuk over here, which is oto ve'ten, which is only when both of them are alive. I mean, the daughter and the mother-in-law are alive, are you subject to sreifa? But not when, at hen, both of them are alive, only one of them is alive, then we do not have the din of sreifa. So in that case, we'd have a question, if Rabbi Akiva is really going to be the author of our Mishnah, why didn't the Mishnah give the example of chamuto? Gemara says, Amalei, nihi dimiyata kura misreifa. Okay, maybe the pasuk over here is mimayet, the mother-in-law from a din of sreifa after the death of his wife. Misura mimiatagra. Who says that it's mutar? Now, what that means is not clear over here. Tosfot Yeshanim says misura means that there's some residual restriction that he's not allowed to marry his mother-in-law. That is, v'nira deritzon lomar misura mishum dichtiv arur shocheiv im chotanto. That there is an arur that is associated in Sefer Dvarim with this, and not because of the regular parshat ha-rayot. But not that there's a punishment of sreifa, not that there's a punishment of karet. There's not a punishment, but it still remains a sur to marry the mother-in-law, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Tosafot says no, that it means that even though there's no punishment of sreifa, there is still a punishment of karet and alav that is associated with marrying his mother-in-law. But either way, Rabbi Akiva can't use that as an example in our Mishnah of a case where his wife passes away and now he thinks he's mutar to marry a relative, because he's not mutar to marry his mother-in-law. Even though the punishment, according to Rabbi Akiva, goes away after the death of his wife, nevertheless, the isur is still in place, and therefore it wouldn't have been an example that you could have brought in the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to stop here, 3 lines from the bottom of Tzadi Dalid Amud Bet.